preaching Christ from all of Scripture. This is Abounding Grace. You join us now with Pastor Chris Gordon for a time of rightly dividing the word of truth.
So very grateful that you've tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio, Pastor Chris Gordon of the Linden United Reformed Church. And last week, if you tuned in, you know that we were studying the Passion of Christ. No movie could depict this. We can't really fully fathom the depths of the suffering that he, the Lord Jesus Christ, went through to face the wrath of God for sin. Just an outward physical treatment of it doesn't do it justice. It's so much more. And what a struggle it is to address this subject today. As I was sitting down to do this radio program, I was struggling. Let me tell you what I'm struggling with. Everybody seems to know this story. We've all been told about Jesus going to the cross. John 3:16 is plastered everywhere. You know, what I'm going to say, can it really make a difference and impact in what you already know? Jesus lived. Jesus died on a cross. I have to believe in him. Got it. Let's move on to something else. That's the treatment of this today. Now let's get to, it's assumed we need to get to, the nitty-gritty of the Christian life. All you talk about is gospel, Pastor. If we hear it too much, isn't this going to lose meaning? You know? Think about it. You ever seen what happens to certain people, even, this is not always the case, but funeral directors and morticians? They're around so many bodies that pass through their hands, they can easily lose all sensitivity to death, becoming one of the most cold individuals to the very thing that needs the most sensitivity. As I was wrestling through this, a similar struggle we have, don't we, when it comes to the Christian gospel. Just the marginalization of what we're studying today. It's been so cheapened. The message is plastered everywhere. And have we really gotten to the message? That's the question. You know, I had a call from a radio listener last week, and it was a real encouraging call. I aired last week the study of the Passion of Christ, and this radio listener says, I'd like to know more about that. And I was curious. I asked, are you a non-believer? He says, no, I'm a Christian. But I've never heard it explained to me. The Passion of Christ, the way that you're presenting it. He went on to say that he was done with the weak, shallow messages that are going on today. He says, I want to know more about what I'm hearing. My heart sunk as that caller called. It was an encouragement, but it was also a warning to me that I never dare treat the grace of God in the gospel as something that could ever be redundant or cold in my life. How dare I push the coldness of my own heart and transfer it that on everyone else, thinking that they don't need it? If grace ever becomes tiresome in the gospel, I'm exposing that something is wrong with my own heart, not with the grace the Lord desires to give me, not with the message itself. You see, there's a whole lot of people out there, maybe listening today, who need to hear this. And I need to come to this with a believing heart. That's the issue. This is what Paul said to the Corinthian church. This is what he was dealing with in the Corinthian church. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which you are also saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Dear listener, you have to do all in your power just to hold on to that message. Because do you have any idea how the devil attacks the gospel every week in your life? How he attacks it and he puts it back on you? You see, the problem is not with God. The problem's with our own heart. So here, This is what we need today. The Lord wants us to understand as we study the gospel, as we study the Lord Jesus Christ going to the cross, the simple message that he has taken it upon himself to fulfill everything that needed to be done to deliver a sinner from their sins. When he said, on the cross, it is finished, he meant, it is finished. That is your meat. That is your strength. So let's study this today. Where do we begin? What our Lord has endured, if we've been studying John chapter 19, has been utterly shocking. They have taken him and they have scourged him. They put big whips with bone attached to the end and they scourged his back to the point of splitting it open. They've twisted a crown of thorns and put a reed in his hand to mock him. A purple robe of mockery drapes over his wet, bloody body, ridiculing his supposed kingship. The soldiers of the Roman Praetorium have taken all their turn, giving blows to his face. Bloody, whipped, beaten, covered in blood. Pilate brings him out to shame him now on the public street before them all. And though there's still no charge made against him, yet when presented the opportunity to free him, the masses cry out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Now we left off last time. Pilate has taken the judgment seat. He has sat down to render the judgment. There was only one thing the Jews needed to say to Pilate to make this happen. It was that Jesus was a seditious rebel against Caesar, and if Pilate did nothing about it, they would go to Caesar and they would tell him. And last time, the verdict of guilty was given. Not because Jesus was guilty in himself, but guilty he became. And so verse 17 is what we're studying here through verse 30 this week of John 19 as Jesus is led to the cross. Now, let me just preface this up front. I'm going to go through some of the physical details of this, but it's not going to be the primary focus this week. Yes, there's graphic physical details to this, but ultimately, it is given so that we would understand a greater spiritual reality that as Jesus suffered, he suffered also in soul. He suffered the wrath of God on his body and his soul because our sins caused this. So let's study that this week, these things with this in mind. It's important to consider both the physical and the spiritual aspects of this. Verse 17. And he, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the place of the skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him, one on either side and Jesus in the center. He carries his own cross to the gate, full of dehydration, bleeding. He has to go around just under a half of a mile. And we know that as he gets to the gate, his physical capacities are so exhausted, he stumbles and falls. He just physically was wearied to the point of total exhaustion. The soldiers want to get this done, and so they call out to Simon of Cyrene to carry the cross. The mockery goes on. The soldiers say, we know from the other Gospels, if this man were a true prophet, God would not have let him come to this place. But because he's come here, God has no regard for him, and there's no hope for him. He's gone to the place of the skull, the place of the dead. It was the Roman place of execution, way outside the camp, by the way, full of corpses and bones. It was known for this by the earliest writers because they said the whole hill looked like a skull. Its very formation like that of a skull outside the Jerusalem gate. He is brought here and we read the dark, ominous words, where they crucified him. You know, growing up, I never knew what that was. What does that mean? What does it mean that they crucified him? Crucifixion, dear listener, was the most cursed, painful death possible. The soldiers take him. They push him backwards against the cross, and they drive a heavy square iron nail through his wrists right into the wood. both of them. They take the left foot and they push it through, backwards, against the right foot, facing downward, and they drive another one of these nails through both. In both of these cases, it is done to leave some flexibility in the body for movement. The victim is then said to be crucified. How does he die? He hangs there in such excruciating pain that the more you sag, the more you have to, because of the stretching of the tendons and the pain involved, you have to push yourself up until you are so fatigued that your body goes through a kind of paralyzed state. You have to raise yourself up to get air, hours of this until you are asphyxiated and your heart compressed. Your tissue loses so much fluid, your heart can't pump until you have so little air. Finally, you die after hours of this torment. There's a lot more to that, but I don't want to overemphasize that because we can't just look at this psychologically. We can't just look at this in terms of the physical aspect. There he is, nailed to a cross, dear listener, next to two common criminals. He's an outcast. And two more things are done here to accent the horror of this. Pilate takes a sign and writes in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin, King of the Jews. In every place of crucifixion, they would write over their heads the reason they are being put to death. But notice what Pilate does. He doesn't write, he claimed to be king of the Jews. He writes, he is the king of the Jews. And that was so offensive to the Jews, they complained, not wanting anyone to see that. And then the soldiers strip him of his clothing. Verse 23, then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to each soldier a part, and also a tunic. Now the tunic was without seam, woven from the top in one piece. They said to themselves, let us not tear it, but cast lots for it. Roman executions left the victims hanging naked on the cross with no clothes. The text emphasizes that here. There was a fifth piece, the tunic, the undergarment, for which they cast lots. What a scene, dear listener. Jesus is crucified in that kind of shame, and it all ends today with him saying that he's so thirsty that he can't even swallow. After these things, Jesus, since he knew everything was now finished, he said, in order that scripture might be accomplished, I thirst. We're going to unpack this week. Look at what Jesus had to endure to save sinners from their sins. That's the issue. Jesus did this to pay for sin. We'll come back and study what Jesus actually accomplished in saying, it is finished. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible sincerely believed and faithfully taught. 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on the Lord's Days are the worship service times. We'd love to have you join us for worship. Visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.